Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my hosts as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to Season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, dude.
The 90s called.
With Christine Taylor and David Lasher.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another very cool episode of Hey, Dude, the 90s called. I'm David.
I'm Christine. We want to answer more of our fans' questions. We're going to do some Hey, Dude specific questions. And then there were some other questions that are not even Hey Dude related, just David and Christine.
Listen, I know you read the comments socials, and we just appreciate everyone listening and for these thoughtful questions and for your engagement in our show, which we are having the best time doing. And we're just glad you guys are listening and enjoying it. And sometimes we don't have a guest like today,
but
and we're going to just be, it's all about your question.
This is actually, these episodes I think are good for us because they're good brain strain questions of like, how many years back can you remember?
It's honestly
some of these things.
Easier to interview someone else.
It so much. So anyway, why don't we dive in? David, read the first one.
Okay. Nicole Baron TX asks, would you ever consider producing or directing a new Hey Dude series? Well, we were just asked this, and I think I came up with a brilliant pitch.
Oh, you guys have to hear this. Well, first of all, let's just put it this way. I'm not a director, but would you consider directing it? Do you want to start there? Would you direct it?
Oh, those are big shoes to fill.
Ross Bagwell and Fred. And Fred, but you might consider?
I mean, I would love to write it.
Oh. I feel like I'm a good producer. I'd produce.
Well, most of the actors in the reboots are also producers,
yeah. But
and literally there's only one place we could pitch this.
Of course.
Because they own the show.
Of course, but you got to give your pitch, because who knows this interview we did earlier, if that will surface anywhere. But David had this incredible storyline.
I just off the top of my head. Ted, I feel like a good jumping off point would be that Ted bought the ranch from Mr. Ernst at some point. And I feel like I am hoping that he would have ended up with Melody and chosen, you know, the sweet girl rather than the rich, you know.
But that blew my mind because this blew my mind because I felt like Ted was so had his eyes, and maybe that's what it is. I mean, maybe he just had his eye on one prize the whole series, and then it was always right there, right in front of him. Melody was always right there.
And isn't that, isn't that the case a lot of times when you're young, you go after, you know, the girl with the attitude and the air about her, and you ignore
the unattainable,
you ignore your best friend who's, you know, a beautiful girl right in front of you. But I would hope that he would have chosen the sweet girl.
Yes. But now you took another turn with it. Continue.
Right. So listen, nowadays, I mean, half the people I know are divorced. Hopefully consciously uncoupling in a happy way. But I think Ted and Melody might be getting divorced or are divorced. And they have a teenage daughter that comes out to the ranch to be with her dad for the summer because she's been expelled from school or she's got some issues.
She's got some issues, yeah.
And she's a little terror on the ranch. And Ted has to call Melody and say, you got to come out here and spend the summer with us and help me get this kid into shape.
Yes.
And then there's a rekindling.
And then we find our way back. David came up with that like in 2 seconds. And I thought that was that was impressive. I was very impressed by that.
Would you do it?
If you do it, I do it. Right. Yes, I'm in.
All right, next question.
This is Amanda M. Hattie. If there was a reboot, would you play yourself again as a worker, new owners, or maybe even the parents of kids now working on the ranch? Well, we just
did. Somebody have my idea already? I'm going to get sued for plagiarism.
We just answered that. Mm. Jessica B. 446. Was there any ad-libbing done on the show? And if so, which lines? I mean,
we had to stick to the script from what I remember.
We did. I mean, I also think we were all so new at it and very green. If anybody was like the king of improvising, it would have been Brisbane. Dave Brisbane.
Yes.
Mr. Ernst. He would come up with things and break us up. Things we didn't understand, words in German we didn't even know.
Exactly.
And sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu.
I remember that.
Whenever he'd mess up a line.
Yes. But I feel like we stuck pretty close to the script. I mean, I think that was, I don't remember. I think I probably was a little bit afraid of improvising or ad-libbing. Well, I was a little too.
Our writers were sitting right there by the monitor.
Yeah.
I mean, not often the writers. Well, I guess they are on set usually. But yeah, we had great writers who wanted their words said as they were written, from what I remember.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead. Read the next one.
Breaker Lane asks, can you tell us your least favorite episode?
See, these are the really tough ones.
Interesting. Least favorite.
These are very, I'll go back to my younger self and I would imagine what young Christine would say my least favorite episodes would be the ones that I was either in the least or the ones that were all about you and Brad. Those would have been my least favorite episodes back then.
I thought you were going to say the handcuff one.
No,
because you said that was
I wasn't in that one. I realized. Remember, I told you Brad and Ted were the ones that got handcuffed, but you and I had to do an episode together. I kept remembering it wrong. It was just an episode that after we broke up, we were in every scene together. So we weren't handcuffed. We were just in every scene, like spying on everybody. But I think that was a good episode. So I don't not like that episode. But I think back in the day, I just would have been like, if the episode didn't have a lot of me in it, I didn't like it.
Really?
Probably.
You probably had a day or two off.
I know, but I don't think I think I cared more about like, fun episodes.
Yeah.
But we have to keep watching. I have to keep watching some more episodes.
Yeah, I can't recall my least favorite. I have my favorites, but
yeah.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sarah Beecher asks, since you guys were teenagers, were you ever embarrassed to be on a show that was on a network for kids? I mean, yeah, we've talked about that.
We didn't feel like we were the cool kids.
Right.
We didn't feel, and I think for you, like, so we talked about it in the last Q&A that we did here, was when you went off to do the series, that felt real. Like, that was like, okay, David's getting real stuff. And so I don't know that we were I wasn't embarrassed to be on it.
Yeah, no, that's too harsh.
But I do feel like it was just, I wished we felt like more people were seeing it back then. We just didn't really know. It wasn't until so many years later that we realized how beloved it was.
Right.
So
it's probably better that we didn't know. Like,
yeah.
You know, we would have been maybe arrogant or.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we were in a bubble in Tucson.
Yes.
I mean, we were with each other and we were working.
Yep.
And by the time the show was over, then we started to realize, oh, wow, people are watching this.
Yeah. Columbia NAA or Columbiana?
Columbiana.
Columbiana 541 is asking, how was it when Jonathan Galkin joined the show, and what was it like for David to come back as a guest on the show. Wait, did you come back as a guest before you actually came back back?
I think I did. I think, oh, yeah. I
would did you do come like, back and I, do like one episode?
Yeah, one at a time.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. You couldn't stay away. You couldn't
no,
stay away.
I missed
away.
You guys terribly.
Jonathan was awesome. I think we covered it. I was texting with him very recently because he lives in New York and I live in New York and we are hoping to get together very soon. But Jonathan was a totally different energy, dynamic personality. He was a huge music lover. He was like indie rock and cool and, you know,
he was a New York City cool.
Yeah, but he was from Chicago, but he was like New York City cool. Right, he was much, much, much cooler than
sophisticated,
me.
Sophisticated. But I remember coming back and I was like, this kid's here that's like super cool. I think I hung out with him like every night.
Yeah.
I remember
except when you were gone and I took him because I needed a friend because you were gone. So it was John and Joe and I for when you were away. Yeah.
Lauren ATC asks, how did you find out the show wasn't picked up for another season? How did we find out?
We touched on this a little bit last time and we all, you know, as that season 5 was ending, a few of us knew we were not going to be continuing on regardless. But I think Kelly had a better story about it. I think she remembers the day she got the phone call because she said she was really disappointed.
She knew that it was like on the fence or that maybe they were.
Because I thought that there was a chance they were still going to continue the show, just not with us.
With other actors.
Kelly said she was going to stay. I think Joe was going to stay. Mm. I was definitely leaving. I think you were definitely leaving. But they opted to keep it.
We never filmed a final episode where we knew it was the final episode, right?
We just
sort of ended a season and then went home. And I think I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah. I love the beauty pageant episode. Was it hard for Christine to do the singing? Meaning, was singing something you were confident in or was it something you pushed through for the episode? That episode, written by Lisa Melamed, the beauty pageant episode, was very specifically written because she knew I loved to sing, because she knew I loved musical theater and she wanted to pick something fun.
She wrote that for you.
Yeah. She wrote an episode that she thought and I think what did I sing? Home on the Range. And that a bat flew into the a bat.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of bats, we didn't talk about that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
We have to save our bat story for another.
Or lack of bats.
A lack of bats.
Yeah. We waited on the Bat Ridge in Austin for over an hour for these bats to come out. They never came out. For each of you, who was your first TV crush? That's from Jason McFiggins. My first TV crush was probably Alyssa Milano on Who's the Boss.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think that I really think it was Jason Bateman from the
Hogan family?
The Hogan family, yeah. Or even before, like Silver Spoons, when he was the supporting character on Silver
Derek,
Spoons. Yeah, yeah. I thought he was so funny and sarcastic.
He was so
and
cute.
That was my first TV crush, for sure.
When you first met your spouses, was there one role of yours you hoped they hadn't seen or wouldn't see? Well, that's interesting.
Oh, I have got such a good one.
Okay, you go.
And I have such a good one that has since surfaced. And because, you know, the problem is when you say these things, and by me saying this out loud, this will be something that someone will try to find. Okay, I did a movie. It was a very, very low budget sort of fantasy science fiction movie where I played a princess because I thought, oh, this is going to be great. This is like, I get to play a princess. The catch is the storyline of the movie, and it was created by a visual effects guy who had this great idea of how he was going to make this, and it was his first film he was directing.
Oh boy.
Anyway, the whole premise is that an evil witch puts a spell on our kingdom and everyone ages rapidly, till the ends of time. Like, time is going so quickly, everyone's aging. So
well, that's kind of cool, actually.
It's a great idea, and it would be great in an animated form, but when it's real humans and it involves special effects aging makeup, on
it's kind of dependent on
something.
Yeah,
it's dependent on that. William Zabka was in it
from Karate Kid.
Yes,
right,
yes.
Right. Oh my
yes,
God.
Yes, yes. He was in it, and it was one of those things that I was like, "You, Ben, you are never seeing this movie. You are never going to see it." And it, of course, cut to he found it, and he like edited it into a home movie birthday gift for me once, where it's like everybody's watching me on that movie.
Oh my God.
So he found a way to really.
But he made it funny.
Rub sand in the wound. Yes, he made it funny. That's hilarious. I laugh about it. It's really absurd. It was a great idea that was just didn't have the money to you know, the budget.
Proper, yeah.
Yes, but what about you?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I don't know.
You've done so many good things that you can't.
No, there were a lot of TV movies.
There was a movie that you and Melissa did that I had never heard of. That movie,
yeah,
right?
But like Daniel Baldwin.
That wasn't cringy.
No,
I think I did a lot more cringy things.
No, I'm not saying you did great. I did. There were a lot of guests. Like, you know, I played DJ's boyfriend on Full House in one episode.
Right.
Like, I don't know, stuff like that. But like, do you ever hear Jennifer Aniston talking about this movie she did called Leprechaun?
Yeah, because yes. And that was another one of those, like I auditioned for it. Auditioned for Leprechaun.
She said it's like the bane of her existence.
It is.
And the guy that she was dating, Thoreau.
She was married to Justin.
Oh, sorry. So she said he came home one night and put it in and was like, "We're watching this. I don't care what." And she like fought him and he made her sit through the whole thing.
We all auditioned for Leprechaun back in the 90s.
And we've all had projects that are not the greatest.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs in Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you think your kids think about their parents being teenage heartthrobs in the 90s? I don't think I ever reached heartthrob category.
Oh, you were a heartthrob.
From the 90s.
You were like America's sweetheart kind of heartthrob.
Right, right. But you were in those teen, you were in those teen magazines a lot when you were like 17.
Yeah,
18.
My kids weren't.
Yeah. Born. No, but what would they think about it? What do they think about it now?
Look, people do post things on social media, like on Instagram. They'll put up something on my Instagram, like an old photo.
Yeah.
I think Casey, my son, thinks, wow, I look a lot like you.
Right.
And I say that. I'm like, yeah, dude, you're me when I was 18.
Yeah.
And my daughters, you know, think it's funny, you know?
Yeah. I think there's something about our kids because, listen, you know, like any families, your kids grow up, they're seeing pictures of you, like when you whip out old photo albums, like whether or not they even knew we were in movies or TV shows at the time, like they just get used to seeing those family photos, or like they go to my mom's house and there's pictures up from me of all ages.
Right. Similar.
So I think it's something that they don't clock as much. I also think we're not impressive to them.
You don't
them.
Think your kids have ever Googled you?
No, they definitely
images?
Have.
Right.
Oh, they definitely have.
It's crazy how many old photos.
They definitely have. No, it's...
I think they think it's funny.
Yeah. Is it hard to maintain friendships with people you grew up with after making it big in Hollywood? No. My friends before I... moved to, I've reconnected with friends of mine from elementary school and high school. And in fact, I think it's almost easier with people that don't know you in that way, or because they've known you from the very beginning.
They knew the real core of you.
Yes, there's no preconceived notion about, you know, they have the dirt. Like they have the, they have the, you know, they're like, I know what you know, looked like in 6th, 7th, 8th grade. I know the nerdy things you were doing, Christine. Don't try to pretend.
Right.
I never try to pretend I'm cool. I always own my nerdiness.
I agree. I think if you work in entertainment, I think you value your older, longer term friendships even more.
Yeah.
Because you know those are your friends. They were your friends before.
Yes.
The people you can trust who know the real you.
Yeah. I remember having a friend's parent, because all of my, you know, we talk about it with, like, you and I were doing Hey Dude when all of our friends were going to college. And I just remember coming home for a Christmas vacation or something. And I just remember there's one dad who was, you know, because I was not taking the traditional path, was sort of like, so what is this show you're doing? Because it also hadn't aired yet. And I just remember kind of this is sort of off topic of this. But I do remember sort of getting, because my parents were fine with it. But I remember it's the first time I got a sort of reaction from another parent that made,
like,
me question.
Not
I'm not doing the, yeah, like, oh, do I really need to defend what I'm doing?
A little judgy, huh?
And I just kind of remember because, you know, and he was like a sweet guy and I knew him forever. But it was the first time I ever felt like, oh, this must look weird to some people on the outside from my Allentown family and friends growing up.
Because it's such a long shot, right?
Yeah.
If one of my kids' friends were like, I'm not going to college. I'm moving to LA. I'm going to be an actor.
Right. Ooh. What has been your worst experience on a set?
Worst experience. Oh, we don't want to disparage anybody?
No, I'm not going to disparage. I think, you know, for me, going back to, it wasn't the worst experience because it was still fun, but I remember it being when I worked on that movie and I was also working on The Craft at the same time. And it was like an overlap. We talked a little bit about it with Elisa. Remember, I think she said that she had worked all night on something and then had to go back to work.
Oh, no, that was Melissa Hart was doing Sabrina and Drive Me Crazy at the same time.
And when you're young, and I just remember I had one of those weeks where there was a crossover and then I had to get into this old age makeup. And it was my least favorite thing to have to like work all night. And by the way, in The Craft, I'm no looker either. Let's wrap it up with this last one. What role are you the most proud of?
Honestly, that's easy for me. I did a movie called A Call to Remember. Jack Bender directed it, who did Lost. The show Law. He's an amazing EP and director. But it was his best friend, Max Eisenberg, wrote a story about his parents who had survived the Holocaust and were now living in America and raising two boys. So it was about the pressure put on second generation removed from Holocaust survivors. And Joe Mantegna played my dad. Blythe Danner played my mom. And it was really beautifully done.
Right.
It was on Starz Network. And it's the role that I'm most proud of. I had to get naked in it.
What?
Yeah. Like from behind. It was takes place in the 60s.
Right. They're going to use this now to tease this episode. So that
you want to see my butt. Yeah. A Call to Remember. I'm sure it's on Apple TV.
David, I have to see A Call to Remember. I don't even know it.
Yeah.
It sounds familiar. The name, the title sounds familiar.
And Kevin Zeigers plays my little brother. I don't know.
I have to see that.
What's your most proud role?
I mean, honestly, I can't. I this is just an easy one for me. It's not as meaningful in that way, but it has to be playing Marsha Brady in the Brady Bunch movies, because it was like I've never had to play a real person before. And even though I was playing a character she was playing, I was so obsessed with that show I worked my tush off to every little thing she did. I wanted to do her justice. And I still, to this day, I'm trying to make it my mission to just become friends with Maureen McCormick, because I just love her. I love her.
She must be flattered at your...
I've only heard really sweet things.
Yeah,
and
crushed that. And you got this a sequel made.
I mean,
how many people
that.
Get that?
Yeah.
Can you say skewl?
Skewl. Saturday night. Skewl. Oh, all right. Well, those are our questions for now. I know there were some that we still have not gotten to. So do please keep them coming. We will have more episodes like this.
In a couple months, we'll do another one like this. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And
we'll see you. We'll talk to you. We'll come back and join us next week. And have a good one.
Have a good week, everyone. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe and give us 5 stars.
And please follow us on Instagram at HeyDudeTheNineties Called. See you next time.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to Season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.